This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Broadcasting and streaming live all across America, this is Home Talk USA with Michael King, where we will discuss topics pertaining to your home with industry-leading experts. Michael King is a licensed general contractor with more than 30 years of experience in home improvements and the author of Contracting with the King. Join us this hour for our segment, Invent America, with your co-host, the inventor lady, Rita Crompton. Discover what's next in the home improvement industry and explore new products and innovations. Or if you have that next great big idea, learn what it takes to bring your invention to the world as Michael King and Rita Crompton talk to America's inventors and innovators. Remember, the America of tomorrow is being invented today. We invite you to visit us at HometalkUSA.com, one of the best resources for home improvement information around today. Your best life begins with your best home, and there's no place like Home Talk. That's HometalkUSA.com. And now, we proudly present Invent America from the number one home improvement radio program in the country, Home Talk USA, with your host, the Cajun contractor, Michael King, and his co-host, the inventor lady, Rita Crompton.
All right. Welcome, America. That's right. Welcome to Home Talk USA right here on the Genesis Communication Radio Network at GCNlive.com. This is the Invent America show, part of the Home Talk USA family, where we talk about the, well, basically the products of the future here on this show, and the young developers and manufacturers and entrepreneurs and that's trying to bring these products to market. Hey, we're just trying to help them. And I'd like to welcome my co-host, the inventor lady herself, Miss Rita Crompton. Hey, Rita, how been your week?
It's still Monday. It's just getting started. So, you know, the week that leads up to, you know, our show on Saturday are always so busy. It just amazes me how fast, you know, the Saturday rolls around for the show and we're busy, you know, Monday through Friday getting it lined up, which is really exciting because, you know, we've got so many different topics and inventors out there who listen to the show, and they're able to go back and look on in our archives and say, okay, I need this topic now. And what we're providing to them is exactly what they need, is good information when they need it, and it's free.
And not only is it free, but you break it down so eloquently. It's like it's this big puzzle. You have all these pieces all over the place. It's confusing. Some of the pieces look the same. It takes a long time to try to put it into the puzzle. But at the end of the day, you got to sit back, take all your pieces, and then eventually, if you listen to this show, then you can start putting the pieces of the puzzle to make the puzzle make sense and be completed. And what I mean by completed is, hey, it's ready to go to market. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I'm trying to do an analogy here.
Every time I talk to someone, they give me an idea for another show. Because they're sharing then the challenges that they've had. And so between our inventors who, you know, have solved problems, you know, we're able to help the new inventors. And then our service providers, our sponsors, you know, they tell us what they need and what they're looking for. And it's a wonderful combination of, you know, information that we are able to provide to all of the inventors out there who haven't taken the first step or in the early stages. And it's great because the experienced inventors help the new inventors. So
that's
we're
right.
able to just, you know, get the information out there to them. And it's hard. It's a hard path.
Well, what I want to do next week, write this down. What I want to do next week is in the first segment where we talk about the show, the upcoming show, of what I wanted you to take a time for our sponsors of Invent America, and I want to give them a big shout out next week. And let's explain to our audience next week about our sponsors and the products that they are offering. Let's do that next week, okay?
Okay. All right. That sounds good. We've got some great sponsors, so I'm sure that they will appreciate that, that, you know, stand up and hurrah.
Yeah, I want to do that next week. But, hey, tell us about the show this week, though.
Well, the show today, we had a gentleman, one of our friends from the North, all right, had said that, you know, I filed a patent in the U.S. He filed in Canada, and he filed in the U.S. And so we were talking then, you know, some about the strategies of, you know, why you file internationally in different countries. So, you know, I thought it would be a really good time for us to talk about, you know, those strategies, because there's a couple of things that will encourage someone to copy your invention. One is that you can't fill orders, and the other one is you can't fill the orders at a price the consumer is willing to pay for them. So it gives someone incentive to, you know, infringe on your patent. But there's strategies that go into that that make it more of an issue that you look at, say, all right, so this gentleman, he knows that the U.S. is going to be his major market, even though he lives in Canada. So he filed here. You know, some people say, well, I know I'm going to be manufacturing in Mexico, so I'm going to file there. You don't file in every country, but you look at the strategy of why you're filing in different places. And years ago, I had two gentlemen. They were partners. They filed in the U.S. because that's where they lived, and they filed in the EU. Spain became their major country of selling. They packed up their families and moved. But if they hadn't filed internationally, they would have lost that opportunity.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That could happen. Wow.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And you know, sometimes by the time an inventor gets to the point of, well, I filed my non-provisional in the U.S., and they're talking to their attorney, and their attorney says, oh, billable time. You know, if you file internationally, you know, it's going to be tens of thousands of dollars. That's not exactly true. What they see is billable time. And, you know, if you're being frugal, there are certainly better ways to deal with that.
Yeah, that's a real good point. Real good point.
And so today we are going to be talking to our friend from the North, Daniel Surak. He has got a very cool product. And then we're going to be talking to Tim Hewlett. He's U.S.-based, but his product is going to have major applications internationally. So he filed internationally. And then we've got one of our registered patent attorneys who's going to be on, who's going to be talking about, you know, some of those strategies and why you would file, you know, say, not worry about it. Or you say, no, I think I need to at least consider it. You know, it's one thing if I tell an inventor, it's like I was talking to another lady. It's like, have you filed internationally? And she said, no. And I go, there's a time frame. It's one thing for them to say, I've considered it and I decided no. Or it's like, are you kidding me? I missed it 2 months ago.
And you're right. The copyright laws, patent laws are different internationally than what they are in the United States. So you need to check your international domicile to find out what is the law. And that's why you listen to this show, right?
That's right. That is right. You know, it's like in the U.S., you know, if you miss a filing date, you can generally pay enough money to buy your way out of it with the USPTO. The international dates are firm. They are written in stone. You cannot buy your way out of it. And so for a lot of inventors, they don't realize that if they miss that date and they didn't know about it, they may have made different business decisions if they had known about it.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's what we look at, is giving them the information so that they can make the business decision that's best for them.
Well, Rita,
this is for everybody.
Well, we got to pay some bills, Rita. You know what that's about now, right?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, you was a guest for years, and hey, you're actually putting this show together. So now you realize that, wow, it's a little bit more in detail. Try to put one of these radio shows together and come up with a weekly content. But hey, stay tuned right here. We're going to be right back with our first guest, first topic, along with the Inventor Lady herself, my sidekick. This is the Invent America Show on the Home Talk USA Radio Network. Yay! Y'all come back now, you hear? We'll be right back.
USA with Michael King. Do you have questions about your next home improvement project or home repairs? Now you can chat with verified home repair and home improvement experts in just minutes. Get the help you need by visiting HomeTalkUSA.com. One of the best resources for home improvement information around today. Your best life begins with your best home, and there's no place like Home Talk. That's HomeTalkUSA.com. And now, back to Invent America from the number one home improvement radio program in the country. Home Talk USA with your host, the Cajun contractor Michael King, and his co-host, the Inventor Lady, Rita Crompton.
Everybody, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. And if you would like to see what is going on, please follow us on InventAmerica.info. If you have a particular question, you can find all of our topics listed on InventAmerica.info, or you can go to InventorLady.com and click over to the radio show. Today we're talking about international filings. Our next guest is Tim Hewlett. He is the inventor of Illuma Ladder. Tim was with us at the trade show last year, and this was just an amazing product. Everybody was real excited to see it, and Tim works in his field of expertise. Tim, thank you so much for being on with us today. Please tell everybody about Illuma Ladder.
Well, it was a product that was needed in the construction industry mainly. We ended up in places when the first part of the construction was going on where there wasn't enough lighting, and we were trying to set up lights and fight for cords to put lights up, and we just, it was out of need because I tried to find one to buy, and we would put stuff on tripods and everything else trying to get lighting in there, and we just ended up coming up with this ladder and putting strip lighting on it and use a cordless tool battery to supply the power to it. That way you're not dealing with plug-ins and dragging cords around through. Sometimes there's water on the floor and different things, and it's just dangerous. And we came up with this out of basically a need for it. And that's kind of one
of those examples of necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly. Yeah.
No kidding. So, well, you have filed actually patents in several different countries. Tell us where you have filed, and then explain to us the why and strategy really going behind that.
We initially were working with a ladder company that had overseas sales, and they encouraged us to do it. We had a contract with them for a short period of time. It was just a letter of intent. So we ended up filing patents in Europe and Mexico and Canada. We got the Canadian patent early on, and the U.S. patent was the first one we got, and in Canada, and we filed in Mexico, and it just came through in the last 6 months because of different things, COVID and things that happened then. And we ended up in Europe with a patent attorney over there in London, and you have to pick the countries you want to be in and pay their fee. So we ended up in four different countries over there, but it's actually a European patent. So that's okay. That's kind of the backstory on that.
And so, you know, you've got patents now filed in multiple countries. You are going, you know, what are your next steps? What are you looking to do? How are you going to use those patents and make them pay for themselves?
Well, we're going to try to get it launched here this month in the U.S., and then we're going to try to contact some overseas places to get it put over there after we see the response here, and we really haven't figured out exactly which way we're going to go with that. I had a company contact us a couple years ago over in England, and they were wanting to market it for us over there, and I still have their contact information, so that's probably the direction we'll go in that area. But Mexico's kind of the trade area, you know, it kind of commingles with the U.S., and so does Canada. And there's a company in Canada I'm in contact with that they told us they would put it in their online sales. So we're going to try to contact them. We're basically going to try to get it launched here, and then we're going to work our way through that.
All right. Well, you had a day job starting this because you had a necessity and you filled it by inventing a Luma ladder. But now, manufacturing and being startup, that's kind of a full-time job too. How do you balance, your existing business with basically a new business?
It's challenging, I can tell you. It really is, because I ran a company. I actually turned over had a plumbing company, and I turned it over to my son, and I still help him, but I'm still involved in it pretty heavily. But it's a challenge. You just got a lot of long hours, and you got to keep pushing. And there's a lot of hurdles in this trying to get it to market. But that's you just don't give up. You just keep pushing along. I was at a show in Louisville several years ago, and I had a guy said, "Never give up." He said, "Because it'll hit eventually," and that's what you have to do. You just keep pushing.
Well, we always say it's like, all right, well, if you're going to be a startup, you've got to be an expert in business. Well, you were running a business, so you certainly have experience in the business part of it. You've got to be an expert in manufacturing. And so, yes, you were in construction, so you kind of know how to build something. But then you've got to be an expert in the marketing part of it, and all of those are full-time jobs.
Yes, the marketing's the trick. For me, it is anyway. I didn't know much about, you can market a company, but usually that's on, your word of mouth, or you got, people saying use that company or whatever. It's not like marketing a product. That's a whole different game.
It is. And, when you're marketing locally and people are, using your services, like you said, that's one thing. But now when you're marketing a product that could sell all over the world, that is a whole new challenge.
Yes, it is. It is, definitely.
So, well, if you would like to take a look at IllumiLadder, the website is www.illumiladder.com, and we will make sure that gets posted on our website so that you would be able to go and find it. This is a wonderful product. It's like, wow, I wish I would have thought of that type of product. So, Tim, thank you so much for being with us today. We are very grateful, and we are looking forward to seeing IllumiLadder out there and in everyone's wheelhouse for you in those dark places. So if you've got a product and you're trying to figure out what to do, follow us and go to the website. You can find out who our sponsors are and what is your next step in the inventing process. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our next guest.